comes the sun and I say it's all right. Good afternoon, listeners. It is 4 o'clock and you are listening to Everything Under the Sun. William Grambois, I understand, is in the desert today on a deserved camping vacation. And I am Raleigh Burley filling in, also vice president of the Sopra Sun board. So happy to introduce myself wearing that hat. I am joined by reporter Megan Tackett.
Hello, hello.
And Corey.
Corey, how do you say your last name?
Menio.
Menio.
Hello.
Hello, Corey. And Corey is going to be kind of filling us in on a little background detail on the Roaring Fork Leadership Group and their role with the Ross Montessori School in providing people with farm fresh food.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
So why don't we just jump right in with that story?
Yeah, so the Roaring Fork Leadership class started last September, and our team chose to work with Ross Montessori School. They needed some assistance in distributing food that they make in their greenhouse. So they have about 12 8x3 greenhouse beds, and they produce quite a bit of food. And our kind of project was to find the people in the valley, the families that needed that food, kind of how to distribute it. You know, how do we do that? How do we go about getting that food out to the community?
Yeah, and Corey, how much of the individual team members' networks came into play with that? Because I know there were a lot of partnerships with organizations. So I guess how did that get facilitated?
So we, first off, I mean, we talked with Trisha, and she's the head of the Ross Montessori School. And, you know, we kind of went through a lot of different processes with our team, kind of thinking about how do we get it out there? Who do we contact? What kind of footwork do we need to do to really get out into the community? And so towards the end of kind of our brainstorming the first couple months, we came up with Lyft, and that was kind of a major organization that kind of will help us store the food if it can't get out there right away.
Oh, sure.
And then Raft, mainly the traveler, we kind of have a connection with them, and hopefully they can, you know, take food around the valley, even to senior citizens or people with disabilities. And then we partnered with a church in Aspen, I believe it was St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they are willing to take a bunch of our food kind of every month. And we figure we're able to feed 25 kind of families a month. Wow. With the food that they're going to make. And, you know, our group just graduated from the Roaring Fork. Thank you. And so it's kind of our part's done, and now it's the kids' parts to really, you know, grow the food. And, you know, it's really all about the kids. They wanted to really get involved with the community and grow their own food and kind of give back. So the kids are the real, you know, the real people that are doing this, and we were kind of just the background.
Well, I know Trisha told me that it could not have happened without you all, so
right.
It was pretty amazing. And I know the kids are so thankful too, because yeah. They planted in March and are hoping mm-hmm. to have some food that they can harvest in June.
They get a lot of food, and it's a pretty cool program, and I'm really happy that we were involved. And I was the only one that could make it today, but, you know, Nick, Molly, Lindsay, Irv, and Pam, and Russell, and, God, I'm trying to, I'm like drawing a blank now. This is great.
And there were a lot of you involved. Austin.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I remember when I sat in on a meeting with you all, God, was it maybe 6 weeks ago or something? Mm-hmm. You had people Skyping in. You had people calling in. There were people gathered in person.
Yeah, there were a lot of people involved, and it was a lot of fun, and the learning process was good, and, you know, Roaring Fork Leadership is a great organization, and...
Yeah, can you tell me how you came into finding out about Roaring Fork Leadership and getting involved with the program?
Yeah, Debbie Wild from Valley Life for All approached me, asked me if I wanted to be in the program, and kind of she kind of sponsored me, and then we kind of I work at Valley View Hospital, so we kind of ran by them with the donations, and they kind of donated as much as I needed to be in the program, and I'm really thankful for them, and hopefully I can get back to Valley Life for All and also Valley View Hospital.
That's amazing.
For doing that for me. So.
And for our listeners who aren't familiar with Roaring Fork Leadership, how would you describe that program, and what were your big takeaways as a recent graduate?
The program is, you know, an intensive kind of 9 months of growing your, you know, your value as a leader, how you, you know, it just grows you as a person. So there's a lot of different courses. There are about nine months, so nine different seminars where you dig deep and kind of go into spiritual things, go into realistic aspects, and it's a very intensive kind of, you learn about yourself a lot, and the process is for you to become a better leader, and we do that through these certain projects that we get assigned. So there were six teams this year, and each team got a certain project, and so we chose the Ross Montessori School one, and, you know, it worked out perfectly. It made us all grow as people, and now we're, you know, probably able to get back to the community and really get back what we learned and, you know, make it a better place to live.
You know, this program really strikes me as such a, it involves so many organizations here in the Roaring Fork Valley, not only the leadership program, but the children at the Ross Montessori School and these families that will be receiving food through Lift Up. And so it's a really neat example of all of these organizations creating this web of interaction for a really good cause.
Right. And we hope that what we did will organically grow over time. This is kind of the first year that we heard that Ross was able to actually distribute food. So I think the growth, if it continues, will really, you know, catch a wave and start to, you know, grow more. We don't, you know, obviously we don't want to grow too far because that's too much greenhouses and growing and everything. But I think in a couple of years, it'll just be a flow of expecting, you know, the food and how to do it and how to distribute it, and I think it'd be great.
Well, I know that Ross Montessori is committed to that this is the baseline model.
Yeah.
You know, Trisha said she was learning as much as the kids this year about, okay, what can we really produce in terms of quantity, and what are our expectations that we can really make some future commitments? So
they were very excited.
Yeah, you've got a little legacy. That's great.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, we can stay on with it and kind of watch it grow. Yeah. Hopefully it stays going.
Well, thanks for your work with that.
Well, in addition to this story about the Roaring Fork Leadership and Ross Montessori partnering to provide fresh food to families that need that food, this was an action-packed issue. We've got our Mother's Day issue. It's probably the first thing people will notice when they pick it up.
All of my social media is blowing up because I get alerts every time anybody likes anything. And it turns out adorable baby and mom photos are very popular.
They always are. And I've seen my own photo back in the Valley Journal with my mother. So it's a long-lasting tradition, really beautiful thing that I think the Valley Journal, now the Soper Sun, provides to our community, that we get to see our fresh moms and babies.
Yeah, we got some very adorable photos. And that was another shout out to Footsteps Marketing. That was another fun thing with our new website. We got to upload our first album, and it is absolutely awesome. So things that we were like, oh no, let's make sure we've got room for in print, we were able to back it all up online too.
Yeah, and it's a great reminder as well that this Sunday is Mother's Day. So plenty of great things you can do around here. The flowers are popping off all the trees. It is a gorgeous time here to take your mother on a picnic, hike, and or go to one of the many lovely places for brunch or dinner here in town in the Roaring Fork Valley.
Absolutely. Mom, if you're listening in Ohio, happy early Mother's Day.
Yeah.
She does, by the way. She goes back and listens to all of your edits that you put up online.
Oh, good. No, we're happy to archive these shows. I can say, as somebody that's involved in the Soper Sun as well as Katie and Kay, that this has been such a wonderful partnership. And we're really happy to get the paper on the air and talk about all the juicy stories that are in here. Will Grambois isn't in to talk about it, but he wrote up a very extensive, beautiful article about Kelsey Goodman leaving the Roaring Fork High School. Yeah, so definitely worth checking out that one.
That is bittersweet embodied as far as I'm concerned. Kelsey, I'm very happy for you and your future endeavors, but Roaring Fork High will definitely be missing you.
And I wanted to draw some attention to the article that you wrote, Megan, about the Carbondale to Crested Butte Trail. Coming back now with a draft plan, and it has been looked at by Picken County commissioners. They've written up their recommendation, but they're careful to say that it's not specific, that they haven't decided exactly how wide the trail is going to be or whether it's hard or soft surface. And they are making it really clear to people that they want public participation and in fact have four presentations coming up. So why don't you introduce the story, Megan?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's not really an introduction, more of a reintroduction. This has been in the works for, oh my gosh, since the 1990s or something ridiculous like that. But, you know, at first they were saying, yes, we've got this, because Governor Hickenlooper made a big to-do, I want to say it was in 2015. He called it Colorado the Beautiful. And the vision for that was he wanted, within a generation, every Coloradan to live within 10 minutes of a trail, a park, a dedicated green space. And later in 2016, he identified his kind of top priority 16 trails in the state. I think he literally called it 16 for 16 in that year, and it subsequently became known as just the Colorado 16. And this proposed trail made that list. The reason that's noteworthy, other than PR purposes, is it also meant a $100,000 grant that the Picken County commissioners then matched twice. So there's a $300,000 kind of treasure chest to fund this, but nobody wants to go too quickly. When I was interviewing Terry Tenenbaum, the director of Picken County Open Spaces and Trails Programs, it was one of those interviews that, you know, you've got all these questions and you think you're going to get the scoop on something, and then it's a lot of, well, it depends, right? And it depends applied to so many arenas. You know, is the trail going to be open year round? Well, it depends on wildlife concerns, right? Is the trail going to be hard surface or soft surface? Well, it depends on what the public wants. Is the trail going to be in alignment with, you know, the highway corridor? Is it going to go east of the river? Well, again, it depends on what the public wants and wildlife concerns. Particularly, there's a lot of bighorn sheep and elk migratory patterns through there that they're very aware of. So, you know, they're really saying, okay, we've got a draft. We did a survey that led through, I want to say it cut off in November 2017. And, you know, more than 650 people replied to that, and they were able to condense that down to, I think, 547 individual responses, because there were people who were so passionate they responded more than once. And, you know, from that feedback, they turned around, the commissioners turned around and said, okay, we think we've got enough information that we can offer a draft plan, but it is very much a draft, emphasis on draft. So they do. They've got a presentation 7 p.m. on May 10th at the church at Redstone.
That's tonight.
That is tonight. Oh my gosh, that's tonight.
Redstone listeners, tonight is your opportunity to hear about the trail.
I blink and it's mid-month already. My goodness. And for Carbondalians that can't make it up to Redstone, you have an opportunity at the town hall on May 16th at 6 p.m.
Redstonians that can't make it tonight, you can do the trip to Carbondale.
Make a night of it. And Aspenites as well, right? Picken County Library on May 21st is also having another draft presentation. So they really want to ensure that no matter where you live in the valley, you have an opportunity to have your voice heard on this matter. And there's a lot of implications there, right? There's economic implications. There's recreational implications. There are those wildlife concerns that we've talked about. So this is a big deal. I mean, we're talking about more than 80 miles of trail.
And in addition to these meetings, so once again, there's one at 7 p.m. tonight at the Church of Redstone. The next one would be 6 p.m. May 16th at the Carbondale Town Hall. Then at 5:30 on May 21st at Picken County Library. And then another one in June, location to be determined. And another in July, location to be determined. There's also an online component, right? People can look at the whole draft and publish their comments or submit their comments online.
Yes, and that is very accessible. For the purposes of word count, I condensed the URL to simply tinyurl.com/crystal with a capital C, valley with a capital V, and trail with a capital T. But if you go to the Picken County Open Space and Trails page, it is not difficult to find. At the very top banner, right center, you can click Carbondale to Crested Butte Trail. And I want to say it was a 268-page draft that I schlepped through. So it is very, very detailed with, you know, historical context. They've broken down parcel by parcel because there are so many municipalities involved in this. You know, what they're thinking for right now, Picken County is, you know, got a lot of thoughts on the matter. Crested Butte and Gunnison are working on what's going to happen on the other side of McClure Pass Summit, right? So it's still very much in the making, but they want to make sure that everybody impacted has the opportunity to have their voice heard in that making.
And this trail is from the KOA campground. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I think you mentioned in the article that in the draft or what the county commissioners are recommending, it's about 8 miles of paved beyond the...
Yeah, that multi-use trail exists and they're looking at extending another 13 miles up to Redstone. And then according to the details in the current draft, right, I can't emphasize enough, it's just a draft, but the recommendation is then to kind of go from paved to a single track for another 7 miles to the summit of McClure Pass. And again, as for what happens on the other side of McClure Pass, we'll have to see what Crested Butte and Gunnison come up with.
Well, I just want to say that you are listening to KDNK. This is Everything Under the Sun, our weekly Sopra Sun radio show. It starts at 4 p.m. And underwriting on KDNK is an effective way to market your business, reach your friends and neighbors in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. With KDNK's reasonable underwriting packages, you can email Greg at kdnk.org. I also want to say advertising with the Sopra Sun is a really wonderful way to get your name and your face out there. Carol is doing a fantastic job. It really stood out to me looking at this issue. I didn't know that there is going to be a Roaring Fork High School capstone project display coming up. That's this Saturday at the 3rd Street Center.
Awesome.
Or actually, no, it's at each of the schools. I think there's another screening here. That's what I was seeing. Yes, the 3rd Street Center is showing some of the showings as well. So that's another...
Oh, wow. Okay.
Little heads up.
Little capstone headquarters at the 3rd Street Center this weekend.
And published in this week's paper as well is all of the Dandelion Day goodness, along with many other events in the community calendar.
I feel like such an outsider. I didn't realize it was Dandelion Day this weekend when I booked tickets to go see friends in LA. I'm going to miss it.
Ooh, that's too bad. I can say that at the Sopra Sun booth, we are going to have some drawing pages for the kids and adults who like to color. And it is a dandelion, a punny image drawn by yours truly. And I recommend checking it out. Should be a lot of fun.
I was wondering if I was allowed to out you on the radio for your handiwork. That is fantastic. I loved that.
And as well, we've got a few other events. Farmer's Night Out is tomorrow, I believe at 7 p.m. at Steve's Guitars. And
How We Grow is happening as well.
How We Grow, 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock on Saturday, Dandelion Day. And also the Parade of Species is how it's all going to kick off from right out of Katie and Kay's studio on Main Street at 10 a.m. And the idea with the Parade of Species is just to wear whatever you want to look like whatever species you most want to look like, whether it's real or imagined.
Dang it, I am not leaving town next year.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely have my costume in mind, but I won't out that on the air.
That's fantastic. Well, be sure to post lots of photos so I can be envious from the Pacific Coast.
So, Megan, I haven't had a chance to read through the article yet, but I also was, I mean, I've been curious about this Wyatt's Apothecary that I've seen on Main Street, and I see that you did do a write-up about it. What can you tell us about Wyatt's Apothecary?
It's really sweet. It's got a sweet origin story. Jeremy Morris and Kate Phillips are a lovely couple in Carbondale, and they recently, actually, I want to say it was on Thanksgiving last year that they gave birth to their first son, Wyatt. And so it is for him that the apothecary is named. And it's sort of a physical manifestation of that next chapter in their lives as a family, creating, you know, just kind of a future and a legacy in the town they call home. And that idea of community is just at the core of everything they're doing. You know, I thought it was going to be cool because, you know, they've got all kinds of salves, and I personally suffer from eczema and I'm always looking for something to keep that beast tamed, and they've been able to help me out with that. But they've got all kinds of salves and essential oils, and, you know, it's just this almost, you know, you walk into the shop and it feels kind of old worldy almost, you know, with all these little tinctures lining the walls and everything's very wooden. But at the same time, you definitely realize that it's a new store kind of coming into its own. Every time I go in there, something's been rearranged or a new shelf has been built or there's new product coming in. And, you know, Jeremy was telling me really enthusiastically about all the new product that he's bringing in, and it's not just, you know, medicinal. He's bringing in shampoos and soaps and things, and how ideally in the future he's got this big table in the center of the shop, and he wants that to be kind of a community small batch tincture making place, because he says, he's like, you know, I'd love to be able to make my own product, but I'm not there yet. And then again, that's shouldering everything on me instead of, you know, taking advantage of this community, because we do have so many naturopaths and herbalists and people with extensive knowledge in their fields. And he just has this vision of that, his apothecary being kind of a headquarters where people feel welcome to come in and swap knowledge and potentially product in the future as well. And and I also was shocked. I learned a lot talking to him about CBD and its benefits. I didn't realize, for instance, that the U.S. government has a patent on cannabinoids, where they have said on paper, yes, we acknowledge cannabinoids as both an antioxidant and a neuroprotectant. And, you know, I was talking to some friends of mine that work with, you know, organizations that work with people on the autism spectrum. And they were like, oh, well, yeah, of course. And similarly, my friends that are involved in the epilepsy community. Oh, well, yeah, no, CBDs are wonderful. And it's just, you know, it's this well-kept secret among certain communities. And it was neat to talk to him about, no, we don't want to keep medicine from anybody. We're happy to just have conversations and educate. But he doesn't want to mislead either. He doesn't want to be one of those people that touts CBDs as being this cure-all, you know, come in with your cancer, we'll cure you. No, go get your chemo, right? But these are helpers. And, you know, let's help empower people to take a very active role in leading the kind of lifestyles that they want to lead. And that includes being involved in their health.
And so do all the products contain CBD?
I'm glad you asked. They do not. There is definitely a broad spectrum of CBD infused products, but no, if you're just going in and you're like, no, I don't know about the CBD stuff, but I do know that I've got, you know, my aloe is not working. What do you have for me? Or, you know, I have a huge essential oil supply, but I've got no way of keeping them. For instance, you know, I know he just partnered with a local artist in town who's a leather worker, and she made these beautiful little leather bags just to keep your essential oils organized, essentially.
Wow. Sounds like a pretty cool business. And so we are approaching the end of our show. We've got about 2 minutes to wrap up. What are your impressions of the paper, Corey? Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I love reading it. I think the articles are great. Yeah, I think it's a great paper. Where is Apothecary located?
It is on 2nd and Main Street. It's right next to the Carbondale Animal Hospital.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, 259 Main Street is the address.
So another great edition of the Soper Sun. We've got Jane's photo pages focusing on all those circles that she saw at our last First Friday event, which I thought was a really neat and creative idea. Community calendar, Mother's Day photos. We've got some stuff from CMC graduating their first class of licensed teachers.
And I want to say hi to two new mothers, Brianne and Casey.
Yeah. Shout out to Brianne and Casey. Are they also in their photos here? In the page?
They are not in there.
Oh, okay.
Very new.
But in spirit, aww. Very new. Yeah. Next year's.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's the beauty of traditions. There's always next year. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Corey Mineo and Megan Tackett, for joining us here for Everything Under the Sun. I'm Raleigh Burley, and filling in for Will Grambois, who I understand will be back next week.
He better be.
Thank you.